Thanks very much, James, for inviting me today. Thank you very much, Lee. It's been beautiful to meet you, and thanks very much for getting me involved with James and to have me here today. I really appreciate it. This has been the most incredible journey of my life. It's been a beyond phenomenal journey. By my early 40s, I'd had over 56 different jobs all around the world in lots of different industries. I'd been in infantry in the Australian Army. I'd worked in retail sales. I'd been through university. I had a botanical major and I had also a computer science major. I had honours in artificial intelligence and robotics programming. I worked all around the world in lots of different jobs, just trying to get experience and skills, because I thought that the bigger my bag of skills and experiences would be, that would take me the furthest in life. But by the age of early 40s, after I'd won a trial version of almost the Apprentice TV show to build a $1 million business in 3 months, I built that in Sydney and I won that out of 12 entrepreneurs. I was in a business that specialised in raising capital for early stage businesses and helping them grow and evolve, but that went down. And I was at a point in my life where I'd done about 7 or 8 years of personal development before then, because I'd realised that I was my own worst enemy. I could always point my finger at other people or at certain events that had happened, but it was how I dealt with it that dictated my performance in life and my results in life. So I started learning about how to get me out of my own way so that the real me could show up. But when this business went down that specialised in raising capital, I'd invested in there. They were about to announce me as co-founder. I thought, I don't want another job. I love helping out other people, which is what I've heard all of you are all about in some way, shape or form. We all love helping other human beings out. And I thought, I'm really going to challenge myself, because I'd learned that we are incredible creators, that we are phenomenal creators as human beings. And I'd learned that it's in our language, it's in our speaking and our listening is where we create. And so I chose to go homeless. I had very little money and I had no home, because I thought, well, that is really going to challenge me to create, to use my language to build relationships, build trust, which is what business is built on. And so I set out to build a mentoring business at the same time. One of the angel investors partnered with me and I started learning about what it was really like to have nothing, because I really wanted to help people who were struggling in life. And I thought, if I could have experience with having no home and no money and understanding where this goes, this is the biggest prison that you will ever find yourself in. And I wanted to learn how to get out of those prison cells without medication, so that then I could help guide other people. So that was in 2018. 2 years later, I'm still homeless. Business hadn't taken off. I had happy clients, but it hadn't taken off. I found what I thought was the woman of my dreams. I've been looking my whole life, and I was about to propose to her, but she dumped me. I was devastated. Early 40s. No home, no money, business struggling, single again. So I thought, I'll go back to Tasmania and heal. A good girlfriend of mine in Sydney said, Samuel, why don't you chat with this lady that specialises in childhood trauma? We've all had trauma in some way, shape or form. I said, okay. So I started working with this lady specialised in childhood trauma, and she said to me, Samuel, when we're born, the baby version of us is born with our soul. They've got the closest relationship. And the more that we work with the younger version of us and use the younger version of us to guide us what we do during our day-to-day things, the more we can get put onto our soul's purpose. Who am I to say whether that's true or not? So I continued to do the work. And there I was, not finding my place in the world. Broke, homeless, dumped, lost. I was on my knees and I'd look up to the Lord and I'd say, just take me. I don't know why I'm here. I knew I had great skills, but I just couldn't find my place. And then I had the idea to convert an old ferry. It's a beautiful ferry that goes to Bruny Island in Tasmania. It used to take about 100 vehicles. And I thought, I could turn that into an innovation island. I'd been mentoring people in entrepreneurship, in communication, in speaking, listening, and leadership. And I thought, well, I could do that on that vessel. We could anchor it in the Doncaster Channel. We could put plants on there, put a restaurant on there, a bar, and it could be this tourist attraction. But we could hold courses to help people evolve and grow and achieve their dreams. I wrote to the government, and the government rejected my idea. And for me, that was just another thing that had been declined or rejected. And I started complaining to my dad, said I got rejected again. And he said, well, why don't you build your innovation island out of fish farm debris? There's plenty of that washing in. But because I teach speaking and listening, and I developed some spiritual awareness, I learned that my path in life would be uncovered by what other people would suggest to me. So I listened to his words a little bit more deeply than most, and I took them on. And I thought, well, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here. But I started to ask some other people about if they'd found some marine debris. The first person I asked, he was a good mate of mine, and we were in a boat off southern Tasmania. And I said my application got rejected, and my dad said, why don't you build your innovation island out of fish farm debris? And he said, funny you say that, because the other day I was out in the boat and this big black buoy washed in. It came from the oyster farm, I think, down the road. Would you like that? And I thought, okay, like, what am I going to do with this? So one door slowly opened for me. I started calling around other people and asking if they had debris. And they were like, yeah, I do actually. And they would give me names of other people to contact, and I'd call them and I'd say, hey, my name's Samuel, you don't know me, but such and such has given me your name. And then they had some debris. And pretty soon I found that, much to my bewilderment, that I started having enough debris to start going, well, it looks like I'm kind of building this island thing out of marine debris, out of marine rubbish. I met a gentleman who had 50 acres of property down in southern Tasmania near a fish farm. I've gone down to meet this guy. I didn't know him from a bar of soap, but I rocked up to this place down this gravel road. It was a very derelict looking place. There was car bodies everywhere and bits and pieces of junk everywhere. And I knocked on this door and heard a little bit of ruffling around, but no one answered. And so I started going back to my car. This head came out of this door and he's like, what do you want? In a really gruff voice. I was like, I've come down here to try and find this guy called Bluey. I've heard he's got a bit of marine debris, fish farm stuff. He's like, oh yeah, what do you want to do with it? I said, well, I think I might be building a bit of an island out of it. He's like, oh, so you're for the fish farms or against them? Now in my mind, I'm not for or against anything because that creates disconnection. But I'm aware that there's part of the business model that doesn't work about looking after the environment with the fish farms. But I said, look, I'm kind of against them. Part of the business model doesn't work. And he goes, well, you better come in for a chat. So there I go into this rustic house that's been pretty much handmade. It's Australia Day in January 2022. He says, would you like a drink? And I'd stopped drinking years ago because I'd had enough to drink during my army years and drowned many sorrows. But I thought, well, when in Rome, let's do as Romans do. So I had some of his rocket fuel, homemade bourbon. We start sitting down and having a bit of a chat at like 10 a.m. on Australia Day. We start getting along really well. And he said, Samuel, when I heard the knock on the door, I was just getting into the bath. And I thought it was that effing meter man coming to check the meter. But he said, God whispered in my ear. And he said, give this guy a chance. And so he came out and he met me. And then he said, we had a great chat. And he said, Samuel, would you like to build your thing here on this property? How long do you think it's going to take? And I said, look, it might take about 3 months. So over the 3 months, I get to know Bluey. I get to find out he wanted to blow up the world and everyone in it. Because he'd had such a negative experience with other human beings on the planet. We started getting to know each other. I'm on his property. He'd kick me out on weekends because he hated human beings, but he'd let me back on the property during the week. 3 months into it, you've probably seen some of the photos where there's something floating on a dam with a few pipes. I'm learning how to start to put these materials together. I'm not a boat builder, but I've spent plenty of time on the ocean. We get to the 3 month mark and I'm nowhere near finished, but he's happy with me. He's happy with the performance. He's happy with my commitment. And he said, let's just keep going, keep going. And so for the next 2 years, I continued finding debris. I continued connecting with the community and they were donating pieces of rubbish which they'd found. My rule was that I could only use the rubbish that had been found in the marine environment, which is like rivers, creeks, drains, and the ocean. Under the ocean sometimes, I've got scuba tanks on sometimes digging stuff out, and I'm learning how to put something together that is capable of the strong ocean conditions that we have out there on the ocean. Because I'd had a vision of sailing this vessel from Hobart to Sydney. Tears came out of my eyes when I had the vision because I realised that it was such a crazy in and out there vision. Like it's out there, it's beyond crazy. But I thought, if I don't take action on this, I will probably be on my deathbed wondering what could have happened to me in my life. And I remembered that I choose to live my life without regrets. So I took action on it. Doors started magically opening. I'm learning how to build this thing. 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. And eventually I got to a point where I was happy enough with the vessel to put it on the water. The vessel was strong. Serendipitously, I'd met a gentleman close by who'd actually built a raft that had gone across the Atlantic Ocean. So he came along and helped out with bits and pieces, and people started coming around. ABC News started to get involved, and they started getting me on the radio to talk about it. And when they opened up the phone lines, first person that called in said, "You're nuts, you're crazy, you're going to die." And the host said to me, "Well, Samuel, what would you like to say about that?" But because I teach about how to transform a vision into a physical reality, it's what I teach, it's what we all have as business owners, and what all of us have is a vision, and we want to turn it into a physical reality, and it's what I've been teaching, I said, "Well, that gentleman is just talking about one future possibility. That's one future possibility, that I could die. But there's also another future possibility that I could make it across safely. But right here, right now, I'm not even starting on the journey yet. And I know that what I focus on is what I achieve. If I focus on the negative things, or that I'm going to die, that's probably going to happen. So I focused on achieving, building a strong vessel and making it across Bass Strait safely. But I was very aware that I'd never done it before and that I would have to learn how to do it. Much like riding a bike, we fall off in that journey of learning how to ride the bike. But the more that we learn about what not to do, the closer we get to learning what to do. And all of a sudden that result shows up that we've been wanting. And so that's been the process of actually unfolding this journey backwards, unfolding the vision, the dream of going to Sydney, and unfolding it backwards. A lot of futures, a lot of leadership specialists, they talk about getting the vision and then working backwards from there. I've had a real struggle with generating financial support. I've been ineffective at it. I take responsibility for that. But what I have been very effective at is really working with people at the lowest levels of society, people that are really struggling. Because what I'm proving to people is that it's not about complaining about what we don't have. It's about getting really powerful with what we do have. And what we do have is a lot of rubbish out there. And what we do have is mental health issues going through the roof. And what we do have is an environment that is in a lot of trouble. And when we have people like these beautiful ladies over here, and the Padre over here as well, assisting people to deal with their mental health issues, we can become incredibly creative, and we can come together as a team, and we can come up with beautiful ideas to solve the biggest of the world's issues. So that's what I'm all about, challenging the hard stuff. Because if you do the hard stuff, everything else gets easy. So I'm after your support. I don't know how that looks. Helping me generate funds, helping me generate awareness, getting me in front of people that are really struggling in life, because I've got some powerful tools to help them get out of those prison cells so that they can be incredibly creative. And at the moment, we need leaders out there who are strong, who are really strong, that cannot be corrupted by money. Because what's happening out there at the moment is it's because of the love of money, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's not money, it's the love of money. Thank you for being here.